hard work and now challenge each other.
You want? I'll fight for you.
Well, both of
us. Ready, draw. Let's go.
They play the main, baby. Let's get him.
Oh, my face out. 60 minutes. Go, man. 60 plus minutes.
Well, hello everyone. Good morning and welcome to Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you here from the NovaCare Complex. Tough day for everyone. After that very difficult Giants loss yesterday, major injury question marks about this football team. One that is 1-2 after three games. The month of September, once again, not kind to Andy Reid and the Philadelphia Eagles. They look to regroup and they look to get back in their winning ways on Sunday against the San Francisco Giants. I expect that most of our show today will be you calling me complaining. I'm ready for you. 215-339-6709 is the number. And you have every right to complain because the Eagles played a poor game yesterday. They made the same mistakes that we saw a week earlier. A fourth quarter lead once again dwindles away. Eagles unable to capitalize at all in the red zone. Just poor performance in the red zone. Bad tackling on defense, turnovers, missed opportunities, and a Giants team that was absolutely depleted comes into Lincoln Financial Field. And I'm not going to say I told you so, but I did. And I wrote about it on Friday, and we talked about it last week. And the disappointing part of it is that this football team, clearly more talented than the New York Giants, did not play hungry, desperate, aggressive, precise football. It was the players, it was the coaches, it was everyone, and everyone takes responsibility for it. And we've been down this road before with Andy Reid, and he's always done a very good job of having the team come together, refocus, and win football games. Now, it appears that the Eagles will have to do that without quarterback Michael Vick. We'll find out more from Andy Reid at noon, but Vick has a broken right hand. Now, it is his non-throwing hand. And this is a very dangerous situation for a quarterback. It's not him dropping back throwing the football that's the concern. It is him ball handling, taking the snap, handing off, and the referee, right on top of the play, misses what should have been a late hit. But when you play the way Michael Vick plays, defensive players are not going to back off. They are going to take every shot they can against Michael Vick. That was a banging shot, shoulder, chin, little bit of helmet there. Was it late? Yeah. Yeah, it was late. Did we all know right then that Vick was hurt? Yeah. We all thought it was his head, not his hand. So we'll find out from Andy Reid if they believe Vick can play this week. If he can't play, do you go to Mike Kafka or do you go to Vince Young? Mike Kafka, the magic that he had in Atlanta a week earlier went away yesterday. Two interceptions in limited time. Did not look good, did not look comfortable. The offense just doesn't look in sync. Sure seems to me the teams are playing cover two against this offense. And they're allowing the Eagles to gain yards and to get up and down the field. And then the red zone, they clamp down on the Eagles, who have not developed a signature play in the red zone. Kafka, 4 of 7, sacked once, 2 interceptions, passer rating 31. Combined, Michael Vick and Mike Kafka, 20 of 30, 211 yards, sacked twice, 3 interceptions. Run-pass ratio, people, we've talked about this for 10 years. If you don't throw the ball effectively, you don't score points. Eagles had 177 rushing yards and 16 points. 40 rushing attempts. 16 points. You got to throw the football to score points. You got to convert in the red zone. Touchdowns, 1 of 5 yesterday for the Eagles. 0 for 2 in goal-to-go situations. They have 8 carries. 8 carries to get down inside the red zone. That's a great LeSean McCoy run. And by the way, we'll talk about LeSean McCoy and how great he is and how he should be the bell cow of this offense. And I'm talking 25 carries. I'm talking 27 carries. Just inside the red zone, I just don't get it. I don't get the play calling. I don't get the lack of execution. You know, the Eagles have to revisit a lot of things here. Andy Reid tried his best to get people pumped up. Did not work. Had all the momentum in the world going into halftime and blew it in the fourth quarter once again. 215-339-6709. Let's get to some phone calls now. Let's go to Kyle in Pennsylvania. Hi, Kyle.
Hey, it's good to finally get to you.
Hi, Kyle.
Hey, it's good to get to you. It's tough for me, man. I live near Pittsburgh. That's all I got to say about that. First of all, I'm disappointed in the defense and the offense. Like you said, it's out of sync. Defense got to make those plays. I want to see some changes at safety. I mean, I like Jared. I think we should give him a chance. I was surprised to see Coleman play so badly. I thought he was really going to shine. And I'm just looking for Andy Reid to touch him up. Honestly, though, I think it's discipline. I think they need to go to Andy Reid boot camp.
I'm sorry, I missed the last part there.
I think they need to go to Andy Reid boot camp, get disciplined.
Well, I mean, where's the lack of discipline? I don't know. I mean, there were some penalties. They had 7 penalties, 38 yards, 36 yards lost. I just think that they're not, I don't know, is this team physical enough?
I think we're a very physical team. I mean, we showed that when we ran the ball with McCoy, we were very effective. What I meant by discipline was we got some defensive guys. They got a ton of responsibility with the wide nine. I know that there's a lot of pressure, but Casey got burned that one play. I know that. He did good. He did very good for the rest of the game, I thought. Like I said, the safeties, I don't know. The angles that they're taking, I don't know. I think they need to study the film. Maybe, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I would love to tell you that I have all the answers, Kyle. I don't. I'm confused. Thanks for the call. I would love to sit here and tell you I know what's going to happen and how the Eagles are going to fix this thing. I mean, this secondary where we have all applauded the moves of Nnamdi and Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie teaming with Asante Samuel, the Eagles have given up 8 touchdown passes in the last 2 games. There's no answer for that. Kurt Coleman misses a tackle, gets benched. Then the Giants do a great job of isolating Casey Matthews. And, you know, he gets beat by Brandon Jacobs. And then right here, Nnamdi Asamoah is in perfect position to make a play and does not make the play. He's sitting there waiting for the route to be run and turned his back on the play, it looked like. I don't know. I mean, look at him. He knows what plays. Here's a double move inside and then outside. And Nnamdi's right there. And he turned his back on the. What? He and Jerod Page are right there. Jerod Page are right there. Victor Cruz? I mean, I'm sure he's a talented guy, but come on. Brian in Florida joins us. Hey, Brian,
hey,
how are you?
Hey, man, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
Hello?
Yes.
Hey, Dave, how are you doing?
Well, I can tell you that I'm not doing that well.
Obviously, I know, man. I'm feeling the same way you feel. I just got a quick question, though.
Yeah.
We spent all this money this offseason with the acquisitions of Nnamdi and DRC,
mm-hmm.
but we still play like a lot of zone coverage. I just don't understand. Like, if their strength is to play man up, man coverage, why are we playing zone coverage so much?
It's a valid question, and I don't know the answer. But yeah, you're. Why are the Eagles playing zone when you've got these corner covers? These cornerbacks who are supposed to be able to cover. I don't know. I know the defense doesn't appear to have blitzed a lot. Which in theory, you're rushing 4, you drop 7 into coverage, you should be in good shape. But there are receivers open all over the place, and I don't know. Marty in Maryland. Hi, Marty.
How you doing?
Hey, turn your speakers down, please.
Hello?
Turn your speakers down. What's going on here? I've got a huge echo every time I talk.
I turn them off.
Okay.
I just wanted to say, you know, Vic's getting killed, you know, every game so far. Where are the quick passes and the screen plays? And, you know, we're supposed to be the best screen team in the league, but I'm not seeing it.
Yeah. Listen, I have a huge echo. So somebody's got to be potted down here. I can't even talk. When I'm talking and there's somebody on the line, it's like a huge echo. To answer the question, well, stay there and let's figure this out. Take your call, Ryan. Michael Vick, the way he plays the game, he holds on to the football. He is going to get hit. He moves out of the pocket. He's going to get hit when he's out of the pocket. Until he drops back and three-step drops and gets rid of the football, he's going to get hit. Do I think some of the hits are late? Yeah. Do I think the league's going to do anything about it? No. Our defense is going to stop coming after Vic? No way. Because if they have a chance to get a good lick on Vic, and 15-yard penalty is a small price to pay for beating around a 205-pound quarterback. 215-339-6709. Let's take a phone call. Is there somebody on the line, Ryan?
Yes. Hello, Hi. Dave.
Hi, who's this?
This is Tony Dave.
Hey, Tony.
And I've been a Eagles fan for 40 years, and I'm 46 years old. I've just never seen a game like that in a long time from the Eagles.
Yeah, untrue. I've seen plenty of games like that.
Not in a long time, Dave.
It's not true. They have you know, and it's
hold on.
It's mind-boggling to me that they can go out and lose to the Redskins last year, and the Raiders the year before that, and the Giants yesterday. A game where they can't put a team down.
I just never seen a lack of tenacity from the Eagles.
But I'll tell you this:
in a long time. Don't get me wrong. Jeffrey Lurie's built a beautiful stadium, and so did the city of Philadelphia. But they're going to start losing fans because they're going to try to draft people to finesse. This is not the early 80s or the mid-90s when San Francisco tried to finesse and had a pretty good defense. You see what Dallas did to stop San Francisco. They went out there and lured some of their people off the defense to come on over there to Dallas back in the mid-90s to stop that madness. So you do what you have to do. I mean, I wouldn't be satisfied unless they win back-to-back Super Bowls. Beautiful city, a beautiful town, a beautiful team. I've always been a football fan. I love the Phillies a little bit more. But the Eagles, I just want to take the wings off their helmets and put an eagle on there, and put the wings on the jersey.
Well, I'm not sure what you're exactly. What are you trying to say exactly? I know you're upset.
Until they earn those wings back on those helmets, they don't deserve to wear the wings. Just like none of the other birds in the NFL wear the wings on the helmets.
I will say this: this team has. Let me see that play again, because after the game, Jason Babin complained that he wasn't offsides. Why would you jump off sides there?
And
I will say this: does this team believe it's press clippings? Is that what the problem is?
I don't know what it is, Dave, but they just can't jump over these hurdles. I mean, teams that they should beat, and on top of that, the Giants had so many people hurt. They had so many people hurt, and you're talking about. Our second string team almost beat Dallas' first team last year. This year, we seem like our first string can't beat their second string.
Well, if the Eagles took the Giants lightly yesterday, shame on them. I mean, when you talk about the tenacity, I thought the Eagles were fairly tenacious. I thought there were a lot. And thanks for the call. There were a lot of scrapes and scuffles and nasty things going on, and I just think the Eagles are just not playing with confidence. I don't know. Certainly in the red zone, there's no confidence at all. There's no bread and butter play at all. How do you go first and goal at the two? I mean, really, and not give LeSean McCoy a shot? I think it's everybody's involved. And I know that they're kicking themselves up there and they're moving on to the San Francisco 49ers and they're pissed off upstairs and all around. And they should be, just like you are. And they're disappointed just like you are. And hopefully you're not going to give up because they're not going to give up. But clearly there's some major questions about this football team. Major. And it starts with number 7. Not only the health, but he doesn't look like Michael Vick. Let's go to Ohio, speak to David. Hi, David.
Hello, how are you, Dave?
I'm better.
I'm better?
Yeah.
I just have a couple questions. My first question is, everyone seems to be, you know, down in the Eagles about Michael Vick, but the issue I see has got to be the play calling. Play calling is what's going to make a break. Michael Vick's going to be the fastest quarterback. Getting outside the pocket is where you're going to make things happen. Like the earlier caller said, screen pass would be one thing to beat that. Sucker the defense in, throw it over the top, run the screen pass. We got one of the best running backs, LeSean McCoy, at that. Or I even think Ronnie Brown. We're not using what we have, I think, for it to exploit those blitzes and everything. They're going to come after Michael Vick until they stop it.
You know, it's interesting, though, David, and thanks for the call. They really didn't blitz Michael Vick yesterday much at all. They were very content with a 4-man pass rush, and they got a little bit of pressure. And they covered, we were all weekend, there's no way they can cover LeSean McCoy and DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin and Steve Smith and Jerry Savant. Well, they did. And they also put pressure on McCoy, or on Vic. The Giants did a really good job, and the Eagles didn't. And where is the screen pass on a 4th-and-1? Why aren't you rolling Michael Vick out? Did you not think he was healthy? I mean, if you didn't think he was healthy, you shouldn't have played him. So, yeah, a lot of questions. Very tough day here. I mean, I was primed up, man. It was a beautiful day yesterday. Home opener. Crowd was into it. Great flyover. Seth Joyner was there. Crowd was into that. And then the Eagles start out 14-0. It was the Washington Redskins game last year all over again. Hi, Ken in Allentown. Hi, Ken.
Hey, Dave. It's Ken the Popper.
Hi, Popper. Welcome.
How you doing?
Yeah,
Dave. I just wanted to say, you know, I went to training camp this year. The lines are looking really good. Where they really have a problem, as everybody knows, is the linebacker and safety. Why not see if we can get Jeff Fisher in, since he has vast experience with the wide nine and that defensive scheme, and help Juan plug those holes, because those are the obvious ones to everyone.
Yeah, well, is he going to make player one, player two that much better?
Well, I don't know.
Or is player one, player two not that good?
Yeah, I don't know if it's a player thing. I mean, I certainly believe we could use some better players, but I think it's also a scheme thing. And I think you just have to put the safeties and the LBs in a better position to fill those gaps.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. You could be right.
Yeah, it's frustrating.
I mean, is it scheme? Is it players? Is it a combination?
Yeah, I think it's a combination. I really do. I think, you know, Juan's doing a great job for his first year. We certainly have players for the most part.
No.
But I think we need tweaking.
Here's the challenge, though. Juan's doing the good job for his first year. There's no learning curve here. There's no pardon here. This team is built to win this year. So I love Juan, and he is as demanding of himself as anyone. But it's not like he gets a break because it's his first year.
No. That's why I say bring Jeff Fisher in as a consultant. Help mentor him in that wide nine front, and how to position the linebackers and safeties to take advantage of those gaps.
Well, again, thanks for the call. Listen, Jeff Fisher's getting paid millions of dollars to not work. I think he's not working for a very specific reason. And I don't think he's coming back to work to be a consultant. But clearly something needs to be done about the defense. I mean, they missed Tapp and they missed Jaquay Parker yesterday. And again, fourth quarter, two touchdown drives by the New York Giants gives them this very improbable road victory. Andy Reid coming up at noon, who, once again, we're talking Michael Vick injury, along with several other injuries. Jeremy Macklin with a hamstring. Riley Cooper with a concussion. Darrell Tapp with a pec injury. Jaquay Parker with an ankle sprain. San Francisco Giants coming to town. Tough defense. Great tight end. Zomp in New York. Hi, Zomp.
Spadaro, let's play a game this morning, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Just if you agree, just say, Zomp, I agree. That's it. If you disagree, give me your reason why, okay?
Okay.
Everything I tell you is what I blame on yesterday.
Okay.
First, splitting out wide, Vic. Do you like the call?
No, never.
Okay. These reverse handoffs that get reverse handoffs like faking the reverse and hand it off to McCoy for 2-3 yards. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. Fourth and one, 2-point lead at home. You punt the ball or you go for it?
I didn't like the call.
Okay. Dave, you see, now I can say, see, it's not always about injury. Thank you. I really thought you were going to disagree with that. You punt the ball. The defense stopped them prior. The last two giant drives, we sacked Manning twice. We got the penetration on the run. You punt the ball, Andy. You punt the ball. But listen, hold on. I'm not blaming just Andy Reid, Marty Mortenwig. I'm not blaming all of them. It's everybody. Steve Smith not knowing where the marker is. Terrible.
You know, that is that the play right there, Steve Smith? Go back to that play. I'm not sure that he had a shot to get to that. Did they get to that first down stick?
You're a veteran, Dave. You got to know where it is.
Yeah, and it was a fourth and two, actually. It was a fourth and a very long one. Do you have that play, Ryan, right before the fourth and one? Yeah. All true. When you lose a game like that, everybody is subject to criticism, and everybody's deserving of criticism. I don't think anybody's here is trying to pass the buck at all.
Yeah, I don't think it's fair at all just to say it was the coach, it was the scheme, it was the players. Everybody. Coleman.
No.
But Coleman can't make a tackle. Nnamdi can't make a tackle. Nnamdi and Jarrett Page right there, as you said. Both of them there for Victor Cruz. I mean, I don't understand it. And it's like the first and goal. You know what I felt like when it was first and goal? The third quarter? That Bears game when we went four drives with Corell Buchholz and we couldn't get in?
Yeah.
That's what I felt like. And I'm like, third down. What's wrong with, like, remember the Chad Lewis days? Bootleg, play action, fades. I don't understand why we can't go into the goal line and show the defense a 3-4, even 5 wide spread, high quarterback sneak with Vic. When you do that run-heavy bunch formation, you know we're just going to do a sneak.
But I have no problem if you show that formation, but just give the ball to LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, I agree with that,
too. Or give it to Ronnie Brown. Didn't we hear what a good short yardage and red zone and goal-to-go kind of guy Ronnie Brown was?
But I agree. I agree with you on that. But do you honestly believe, Dave, that we have 100, like we have 1,000,000 plays, okay, and we perform beautifully?
Right, you can't find it.
As soon as we get to the goal line, as soon as we get to the red zone, it's like the playbook gets thinner and thinner.
Zomp, I'm not gonna disagree with you at all.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go because I don't want to get you upset.
Hey, but. Go ahead, Zomp. Keep going.
No, I don't want to get you. I don't want to get you upset. I mean,
no,
I
keep
just
going.
Been through it, man.
This is your world, guys. I mean, I know how you feel today. I'm here for you, and I'm disappointed as much as you are. And I just trying to figure it out, like you're trying to figure it out.
No, I know. Especially when I live here, you know how it is. It just bothers me. And another thing that bothers me, and I know people are going to say, and I know you may bash me for this, but Nnamdi Asamoah. You bring him here. Let him play the best cover guy, the best receiver on the other team. Press him and leave him alone.
Well,
stop dropping him back in safety.
Well,
stop dropping him back.
Well, hey, listen. Hakeem Nicks had 3 catches for 25 yards.
Yeah, but was he on Nicks all game?
He wasn't the guy. No, I think he just played the right side.
But that's what I mean. Let him take care of Nicks. Who would have known Victor Cruz? Who would have known that? But when we play Green Bay, let him be on Jennings. When we play Dallas, let him be on Miles Austin. When we play all these big teams, let him just do what he does best.
All right, so who are you doing? How are you matching up against Vernon Davis this week, tight end for the Niners? Really, the only legitimate
but
threat.
But that's where I blame the coaches, because right there, what you just said, you're 100% right. You probably have to put Nnamdi there. But the reason why I blame the coaches there is because you know as well as I do. You probably even know better than me, Dave. When you do the wide nine technique, I love it. I think we get pressure with the front four. But it puts more of an emphasis on the linebackers, and we didn't address that in the offseason. We addressed everything else but the linebackers.
Yeah.
That's the problem right there. And that's why we're getting hit in the rear end now for this.
Yep. Hey, thanks for the call, Zomp. All right, let's take a little break here. When we come back, I think we're going to have a little special guest here. Former Eagle linebacker Seth Joyner is somewhere here. Is he around, Doug? Oh, he's not here yet? Okay. Well, we don't have him here yet. See, it's that kind of day. False promises. We will have Andy Reid at noon, though. We will get Seth as well. He's coming in soon. Dave Spadaro with you. Eagles Live, the name of the show. Keep the phone calls coming. Vent. Lot to vent about. Understood, guys. Understand how you feel today. We're all feeling it. 215-339-6709. We're coming right back on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
This aisle isn't big enough for two zeros.
Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Is that all you got?
I'm up to my knees in zero calories. Pepsi to the max, so let's drink all of these.
Snoop!
Pepsi Max. Too much taste to be called a zero.
Saving for our child's college fund was getting expensive.
Yes, it was. So to save some money, we taught our five-year-old how to dunk.
Scholarship! Honey, go get him.
There's an easier way to save. Get online. Go to Geico.com. Get a quote. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Join us every night at 7 o'clock for 30 minutes of the latest Eagles news, notes, and anecdotes right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We call it Eagles Nightly, Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
All right, we're back. Dave Spadaro with you, 215-339-6709. In the locker room, we're going to get to LeSean McCoy in a moment. Let's go down to Florida first and talk to Andrew. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Dave?
You know, Andrew, I'm not in a good way today. What can I tell you?
I don't think too many Eagle fans are after
yeah.
that loss.
Yeah.
I just kind of have two things that really struck me from that game. The first one was, you know, watching Michael Vick trying to be too much of a pocket passer. I mean, here's a guy who's got an elite running ability. He's faster than anybody else on the field. And several times, he's looking at a third and a three or third and a four, and he's scrambling around to the right, and he's got 15 yards ahead of him, and he's throwing the ball into double coverage.
Yeah, there was that one early throw to Avant, maybe. Was it a
yeah.
Vaunt? Oh, it was terrible. And he had the whole sideline.
Yeah. And I think what's happening is too many people are getting in his head telling him that he needs to be a pocket passer. And he needs to strike a balance between being a pocket passer and being the athlete that he is. And that's a work in progress. Yeah, he had a great ability to do that last year. And I really think that he needs to go back to that style of play and just be Michael Vick.
Yeah, I just didn't think Michael was there yesterday. I just didn't think he was sharp. You know, let's show that play again. This is the third down play to Steve Smith that we talked about, and that Zomp was complaining about. Andrew, Steve Smith runs the route. He stops 3 yards short of the first down. So I don't know what he's talking about going. I mean, that's where the play was designed. Then he kind of goes down. Interesting. There was a play at the end of the first half. Eagles are messing up the end of the first half. They have two false start penalties. They move from the 16 to the 26. And then what do? They completed a pass, I think. A short pass. And I'm sitting there watching it. Because I was actually out in the stadium watching. So they... Hang on here. I don't know if you watch this, Andrew. Vic fumbles the... Vic's in the shotgun. He fumbles the snap, right? Then he recovers and runs to the Giants 20 for no gain. They have no timeouts left. And it's fourth down, and they're rushing everybody off the field to get Alex Henry on to kick the field goal. And Vic lines up like he's going to take the snap. It just didn't seem like he was there mentally.
Yeah, I do agree with you that it just seemed like, you know, he might have had some, they might have rushed him back on the field after the concussion. I think this time with the broken hand, it may actually be a godsend because it's going to give him time to recover from everything. The concussion, the broken hand, it'll give him time to be able to...
Yeah, but you got to win some games
really,
in the meantime.
Really think about what's going on.
If Vic is out for the next several weeks, we don't know yet. We don't know, Andrew. Who would you like the quarterback to be if Vince is healthy and there's a choice?
Well, that's kind of hard because Vince isn't as familiar with the offense as Kafka is, but Vince is a better athlete, and he's also a more proven quarterback. I would probably go with Vince, and I would do something along the lines of running the ball more. I mean, Shady McCoy yesterday was just ripping the Giants, on the ground, and after 24 carries, it just seemed like that was it. They were done. And yeah. That was what, midway through the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and you've got to be able to run the ball. You can't just take a stab at Deshaun Jackson that everybody knows is coming down the field from Mike Kafka.
That was terrible.
You know, when you've got a running back that's just basically tearing into these guys. Andy needs to learn when to pass the ball and when to run the ball. I think sometimes you know, these play calls were bizarre yesterday. I have no idea sometimes what they're thinking when they call certain plays. But it's just they need to get on a better page. I think this was a major wake-up call. I saw Andy in the press conference, and man, was he pissed. I've never seen him so short with reporters and things like that. I mean, he's ready to kick somebody in the pants and let them know that
I think this is not acceptable. Thanks very much for the call. Andrew, I think he really wants to kick himself in the pants. He was apparently very, very animated and upset with his team after the game. And everybody deserves it. Bad loss. All right, LeSean McCoy, big game for him. Another huge game for Shady. He has been the best running back in the league. I think that's probably the case. Best running back I've seen here in a long time. He's been great. Shady McCoy talks after the game about a very difficult loss.
You know, he didn't get hit as much today. You know, kind of looking at it, other than the late hit that obviously wasn't called. But other than that, I didn't think he really got hit a lot. I mean, other than Mike running, really. You know, they ain't blitz as much as we thought. I don't know if they were kind of scared of us going deep or what, but they didn't really blitz as much as we thought they would.
Well, Sean, there were a couple times when Mike was holding his head. Did he seem like he was totally...
He seemed fine, Huddle. He seemed normal. He seemed normal. So I didn't really see when he got hit or how's he feeling. He looked good, so I missed it, if anything was wrong with him.
Have you
Sean, have any idea how long he may be lost for?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. You know, I just, I mean, you know, we didn't discuss that, you know. The only thing we did discuss is, you know, how he gets treated, you know, unfairly. You know, with late hits that never get caught, you know, and in an obvious play. So, I mean, that's really it.
He discuss that with Michael or?
Yeah, I mean, well, talk with Mike, you know, whoever seen it, you know, it should have been caught. I think if it's, yeah.
He hurt himself by Canty.
Yeah, it was late, yeah. You know, I thought it was late, but, I mean, yeah, it wasn't caught.
Is that the one that he got his hand hurt on, do you think?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I think it was a play where he threw it to Macklin, kind of across the middle, and he got hit to the right. Is where the late hit. I just seen it on Jumbotron.
What's the plan?
And Mike's, you know, Mike said it. So.
What's the plan to have you really involved, obviously, to take a little of the load off Michael? I mean, you had a lot of carries. Even, you know, when you guys were down 14-0, you had all those 8 straight carries. Was that the plan kind of coming in?
Well, yeah, we kind of knew we could run the ball a little bit against him, you know, and also get some pressure off Mike. Just kind of, you know, hitting with different things, you know, so many weapons, you know, try to get everybody the ball. You know, I think today we actually did well kind of protecting Mike. And like I said before, just, you know, a couple hits that he had and a couple times he ran. But, you know, he's got to protect him a little bit better. But for the most part, I thought we did well.
You know Mike really well. How disappointed, frustrated, angry is he that he's gotten knocked out of 2 straight games like this?
I know he's mad. I know Mike's mad because he's a fighter. He's a fighter. He's a competitor, you know. And when he's getting hit, you know, late and he's never being caught, you know, I thought it was supposed to protect the quarterbacks. You know, so I know he's pretty very, very frustrated about that.
We heard that Coach Reed was really torqued off after the game, very angry at the team and was upset. What did he say?
I mean, he should be angry, you know. You know, everybody's hyping us up to be this great team and you know, we lose 2 games straight. You know, we gotta go out and compete. Nobody's just gonna give us, you know, victories because we got, you know, all the best players. We gotta come out and play. And that was kinda Andy's, you know, conversation with us, you know, and compete, you know. That team over there is not better than us, you know, and you can't keep saying the same thing each week when you lose. So you got to go out and play.
4 shots from the 2-yard line and you didn't get a carry. Was it frustrating not to get your number called there?
Nah, I wouldn't say that. I just felt like it was a good call. I mean, I thought it was a good call. You know, if it went right and we scored, you know, everybody would be applauding on the back and saying it's such a good job. So I don't mind the call. But as a competitor, you get hungry, you know, you want the ball, but you want a bad call.
Sean, falling behind 14-0 early, was the intensity there as a team?
I think so. You know, they jumped on us quick. You know, then we fought back, and then we had the lead. I think once we kind of get them down, we just got to go. You know, kind of turnovers and you know, not scoring when you're down to the red zone. You know, that stuff comes back and haunts you in the butt. You know, and it did today. But, I mean, you can't keep giving excuses out, saying what you should have did or what should have happened. You got to go on and play, you know, and we didn't do that.
Mark in Long Island joins us. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
Mark.
It's a bad day to be an Eagle fan. It's an even worse day to be an Eagle fan living in New York.
Yeah, I'm sure. Hang in there.
A few observations, boy. I'd like to get your input on it.
Sure.
Offensively, one, I don't think the offensive line is as bad as everyone says it is. I think Vic's taking these hits because of the style of the way he plays. And I think Reed and Morningwig rely too much on Vic in the big play. The NFC East, ground it out. McCoy was tearing up the Giants. Keep it on the ground and ground it out. I coach youth football, and I don't run as many trick plays as these two yoo-hoos do in the game. I don't understand.
Well, you know, the two red zone moments that stick out for everyone, I guess, are in Atlanta, you have a 1st and goal inside the 5. I guess it was the 4-yard line, and Vic's back is turned to the defense, and he gets pounded and fumbles the football. And, you know, instead of just, hey, turn it hand off, or they, whatever that play was where they were running left, a little delay, and McCoy was going left side off the edge yesterday.
It was just, that stretch play.
It was a stretch play and just kept working. It was beautiful.
Right.
I mean, why this team doesn't turn and run the plays that are working when they get to the red zone, I don't know. I don't know.
Me neither. And defensively, I don't understand defensively. it's a very simple fix. You put Nyamdi and Cromartie on the corners and press them on the number one and number two receiver. Put Samuel in the slot. Get rid of Matthews. I think he's going to be a good player. I don't think he's ready to play yet. And put and keep Jordan in there for Foku. When Jordan was in there, he was making plays all over the place.
Yeah.
I just don't understand it. It's heartbreaking, especially consider where I live. I'm surrounded by next-door neighbors who are Giant fans, and I got to see their stupid blue blow-ups every week now.
Yeah, and they'll listen, I still believe in this team. I still believe they're going to get it going. But it's just when you lose games like this, to me, it's just another deterrent to having any breathing room late in the season. I don't want to have another got to win six out of the next seven to make the playoffs kind of finish. You know, you don't get the bye week. You don't get the home playoff games. You make your road very, very difficult.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're putting yourself in a hole. You know, you're putting yourself in a hole early is when, you know, early in the season is when you want to jump out on top. That way you can, you have the luxury, like you said, to let one or two slip late in the season and still be able to retain your home field advantage or a home playoff game.
Yeah.
I agree. I'm just very, very, you know, I'm at a loss for words, really.
Yeah, we looked at the schedule last week and we said, okay, if the Eagles are 1-1, they've got four games to go before the bye week, let's get to 5-1. Now, they're 1-2. Okay, the 49ers team coming in here is not a good team. Eagles better handle business there.
Right.
But then you're going to Buffalo, real good team, and the Washington Redskins, real good team.
Right.
Not an easy road to the bye week.
No, you're putting yourself in a hole that you know, and you're leaving the shovel on the outside, not being able to help yourself dig out.
Yeah. So.
All right, I appreciate the phone call, allowing me to give a call and voice the opinion.
Thank you.
I'll still bleed green till I die.
Thanks, Mark. Hopefully that's not for a long, long time. Hopefully you got a lot of green to bleed, because we all feel it today. Hey, how about a highlight? How about Alex Henry? Not bad. Three field goals, couple of extra points. Actually, one extra point. Did the Eagles only score one touchdown? Yeah, one extra point. Three field goals. Ugh. Gary in Florida. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Dave. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Well, let me get this bag off my head.
Ah, good one, Gary. Not bad.
I'm sorry. You know what? It's only the third game. I'm going to be a little bit positive. You know, everybody's really moaning today.
And I understand
but,
that. Yeah.
The third game, and, you know, it's no picnic right now. It's a defensive issue. I mean, to me, if you can't even talk about the offensive line right now.
Well, why is it only a defense?
Well, I think he invites all the issues that happen to him.
Why only a defensive issue when you go 1 of 5 in the red zone and you've got two 20-yard field goals?
That's true, but we're giving up points at an almost unprecedented level as far as I can remember.
Yeah.
And, you know, they look a little confused, not a little. They look very confused out there on defense, especially when the ball goes up in the air. You know, I'm looking, and we didn't make any plays. We didn't even come close to an interception that I saw.
No.
You know, they just were flat.
Yep.
And you know what? I have to say, I got to spank you guys a little bit. I mean, you know, especially Chris. All week, you know, he's laughing at the Giants, you know, and he's being very disrespectful. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh, shit, I hope this doesn't come back to bite us, you know.
Well,
but you got to give guys respect, you know, that are playing for the other team. They're all great players.
I agree.
And if they came in with chip on their shoulder, and we probably put that chip there, you know, saying,
well,
you know, we beat you guys six games in a row. And,
well,
you know,
but the Eagles did beat them six games in a row.
They came in, and they had the edge on us. Hey. It was obvious from the beginning. We started to come back, and then Andy had a momentary lapse of reason. You know, that caused, I think, a defensive momentum switch. They got a little bit of life from that. You know, next thing you know, they didn't let us do anything the rest of the game. You know, of course, Vic wasn't there some of the time. But, you know, we're self-destruct still. And, you know, the thing about the season is that we're going to have to get a little more consistent if we want to be even a 500 team, the way I look at it.
Yeah, and listen, let me go back to you're chastising PhiladelphiaEagles.com, Gary. I mean, I get it, but I don't think.
You know, I know that it's all in fun.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, and I saw the splash, which I think was super. By the way, I never said it, but the splash was really super this week. And
that had nothing to do with.
But that was all in fun. But you know, when you laugh at a team over and over and over, you know, people from New York are watching that game, watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com if they're smart.
I know that, but there's no. But we've all
once in a while, I eavesdrop on a team that's going to play us, and I want to hear what they're saying. I read their paper, you know, online, and I want to hear what they're saying. But we don't need to fuel these guys up, especially a division team.
Well, what exactly would have fueled the Giants up? Chris McPherson thinking that the Eagles were going to be able
Chris,
to win the
but
game?
You know, he was laughing at them, you know, the several times that I did tune in at 7 o'clock. And I thought to myself, you know, we have to have a
Chris
little bit of
humility. Chris was laughing at them on Eagles
know,
Nightly, huh?
You know, sometimes you bring your karma down on you, you know? It's weird.
Well, hey, I appreciate the call, and thanks. Keep tuning in. I don't think anybody was laughing at the Giants. I think, and I wrote about it on Friday, Gary. I spoke about it yesterday before the game. Anybody who thought that this would be an easy game, dead wrong. I think a lot of fans felt that. And if the Eagles felt that, then shame on them. Shame on them. Because no game in the NFL is an easy game. No game. Rob in Charlotte joins us. Hi, Rob.
Hey, Dave. How you doing?
You going to chastise us too, Rob?
No. Okay. No, I'll tell you what.
Look how slow off the ball they were.
I watched the game yesterday. It was a horrible game.
Yeah.
It was a horrible game from start to finish. I've been back and forth with this all day yesterday. I know we're 1-2. And I know there's a long road to go. But, again, I want to be on the positive side, too. You know, we have a team who can get it together and go on a good run and get stronger as the year goes on. And I'm just looking on that aspect of it. And I think that we're going to, you know, gel together better. I think everybody is going to start and come together, and I think we're going to be okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at the schedule, you know, before the season started, and one of the things that I came up with was either the Falcons or the Giants, one of those games had to be a win. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it generally evens itself out the rest of the way. You win a game that you didn't think you might win when you kind of looked at the schedule before the season, but I look at every game as a chance to win. I looked at this team and said, if you give Michael Vick time to throw the football, there's no way you can stop this offense. Well, the Eagles gave Vick time to throw the football yesterday, and the Giants stopped the Eagles' offense. So I don't know what this team is right now. I don't know how good this football team is right now. I'm not ready to say this is a great football team. They're not a great football team. They're a 1-2 football team. Did they believe the press clippings too much? Did they believe when people call them a great team?
I have to agree with you. I don't think we're a great football team. I think we're a really good football team.
Well, not now we're not. It's a 1-2 team.
No, right now we're absolutely not. And, you know, every year it seems like there's always a game that we look at the schedule and say it's a win. It's a definite win, and we always end up losing it every single year. And, you know, I know it's the Giants. I know it's a divisional game. But you know what? Even though it's early in the season, it's a great big game.
Yeah.
Even though it is the Giants in Week 3, that's a big game because now we have to go to New York next time.
Absolutely
and
right.
I mean, it's, you know, it's just going to be tough. And I like what I liked the running game yesterday. I thought that was fantastic.
Fantastic.
And I did want to ask you this, too. I know only because I could see it on TV. What do you think about Jackson right now?
Should have caught that one third down ball. The teams are playing a safety over the top on him. They are taking away the deep ball, the vertical passing game, playing too deep coverage, that soft shell, and just letting the Eagles dink and dunk and dink and dunk. I think Jackson's up and down. Like that catch, that should have been a catch. Got to catch that ball.
It absolutely should have been a catch. I can't understand why he would have missed it. And one last thing I want to ask you is, why do you think we're not using Celek as much as we used to?
Well, I think because you've got other players to throw to. You know, Macklin's very involved. You've got Steve Smith now involved. Deshaun, obviously. You can't make everybody happy.
No, I guess you can't.
I'll tell you, maybe to amend that question, why aren't you using Brent Celek more in the red zone? That's a legitimate question.
Yes, that, oh my gosh, I tell you, when we were in the red zone yesterday, as explosive as Michael Vick is, why wouldn't they do at least one play action?
Well, what did Michael score last year? 9? How many rushing touchdowns did he have last year? And how many does he have this year?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
That's a big component missing from this offense right now.
There's something definitely missing. I just hope that we can pick it up next week. And you know what? One game at a time, Dave.
I hear you, Rob. Thanks for the call. Let's take a little break here. When we come back, Andy Reid will meet the media, his noon press conference, and he will update us on the injuries. And there are some significant ones. Stay tuned. Andy Reid up next.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, online banking with bill pay, and the flexible options you need to help make the pieces of your life or your business fit together a little better. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking.
Sweet belt. E-reader for textbooks. GPS. HD video cam for lectures. Gamepad. Have you ever considered this? It's got all that and more than 200,000 apps.
Technology to learn and play on the go. Only at Verizon. Buy one Droid 3 by Motorola, the thinnest full QWERTY smartphone ever, for $199.99 and get another one free.
Healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar. That's what makes Snap look extraordinary. Not this.
Healthy green tea, tasty black tea, real sugar.
What'd he say?
No idea.
Snapple. Made from the best stuff on Earth.
40 years. 14,610 days. 1.2 billion seconds of Gatorade science, passion, and evolution. All for the 1 second you needed. The G-Series. Prime. Perform. Recover.
Beaky, I've been wondering.
Yes, sweet?
How can you eat ice cream every day and still fly?
Simple, it's not ice cream.
Sweet, sweet, what?
It's frozen yogurt from Turkey Hill Dairy. It's enriched with calcium and vitamin D for stronger wings. Try some.
Mmm, it's delicious. I'm gonna get some for myself. Gotta fly.
Turkey Hill Dairy's frozen yogurt and light recipe ice cream. Enriched, timeless goodness imported from Lancaster County.
Andy Reid's press conference will be in just a moment or two, so hang in there. It's an important one, obviously, with the injury update. With what does he do? I mean, he's always been really good at getting the team refocused and repurposed and just ready to go, ready to bounce back. This team doesn't lose 2 games in a row, and yet here we are. This is a big play here. And Kurt Coleman gets benched for this play. Namdi did not. Rocky in Indianapolis joins us. Hi, Rocky.
Hey, Dave.
How are you?
I'm hanging in there, man.
Yeah, me too.
I've been on the computer all morning, kind of doing some research, trying to make sense of the situation. I don't know. Last year we started 2-2, did we not?
Yes.
But we lost to the Packers, beat the Lions, and beat the Jags.
And then lost to the Redskins.
What was it? The fourth team that we lost to. What team was that?
Redskins,
that's right, when McNabb was there. So it's not too bad. We can always come through as long as we work our butts off and play against the Niners. We can beat them. The one thing is about the situation that I see, I think we need to be starting Vince Young. I mean, not if Vic's healthy, of course. If Vic's healthy, we go with him. But if he's not, I just don't see why we start Kafka over Young. I don't. I mean,
I agree.
Offense, you know, he knows the offense better and whatnot. But it's the same thing I was saying when Vic first came in and they were talking about going to Kolb. I mean, you see him in the preseason. You know what kind of quarterback he can be if you give him a chance.
Yeah. I think we lost you. Well, the question is, how much of the offense does Vince Young know? How has he retained it? How is he going to apply himself? Andy Reid, up at the podium now.
All right, injuries. Riley Cooper, concussion, and we'll just take that day by day. He seems to be doing pretty good today. He was doing well after the game. Brandon Hughes has a hamstring strain. Jeremy Maclin has a hamstring strain. He was MRI today. It doesn't, he's got a little spot there, but it's not quite as bad as what we thought. Michael Vick has a hand contusion, so it's not a break. It actually, and we had a couple different, matter of fact, a few different shots taken of his hand yesterday during the game. The early clips showed that there was no break, and then the ones that came back when he was on the field showed that there was a potential fracture there. And then today he had the scans, and the scans showed that there was no break. What it was it's a blood vessel that was sitting over the bone, and this, I guess, frequently happens. I'm not obviously a doctor, but that happens at times with x-rays, and the blood vessel made it look like it was a fracture. He still has a bunch of swelling in it that's got to get out of there. It's sensitive to the touch right now, so that part's got to go on, but the positive is there's not a fracture there. And then Parker is still out with a high ankle sprain and working through that. And Tapp is getting closer with a pec strain. As far as the game goes, obviously I've got to do a better job of managing this football team and taking care of things for game day, and we had 8 significant plays, 4 on offense, 4 on defense, that and all different types. But the base part of that was that there were 4 significant plays that that they scored on, and on long plays, big plays. And we didn't have any on the offensive side, and as far as the management of the game, I've got to take care of that. Obviously, I thought the 4th-and-1 changed the momentum of the game in the opposite direction, and that's clearly my responsibility. And so I take full responsibility for the outcome of that game. And on the other hand of that, I'll get better, and as a team, we will get better. So, time's yours.
Since it's not a break, does that mean it's strictly a pain tolerance thing as far as whether he plays?
Well, we'll see how he does over the next couple of days. You got to get the swelling out of it.
If he can't go, who's your quarterback?
No, we'll see.
You think it's possible that he plays this Sunday?
We'll see how the swelling in the hand goes. Make sure we listen to the other guy's questions here. We'll see if we can get the swelling, where it's manageable and his hands you know, where he feels comfortable.
How's Vince doing right now in his hamstring? Is he 100% and ready to take
this snap? I didn't think he was this past week. And so we'll take him out and we'll run him here and see if he can breathe. It was that top end this past week. I didn't think it was there, but we'll see how he does this week.
How Michael's hand, the swelling now compared to post-game when it was pretty bad. Is it getting better yet?
It's about the same right now. And it's not to say that he can't play with the swelling. It's just got to be where he can bend his hand to where he can work with it.
Andy, did you talk to Michael today on how relieved was he that it was not a break?
Well, I think he's pretty relieved about it. Yeah, so it's a good thing. That's a positive thing that there wasn't a break.
What did he say to you about wanting to play on Sunday?
You know, he always wants to play. So I mean, that's how he is. He's a competitive guy.
There's a lot of fan frustration this morning over after games like this, over the kind of similar kind of themes. Play calling, clock management, trouble in the red zone. You mentioned a minute ago you need to do a better job. What do you mean by that?
Well, you did a good job of explaining it. So, and I completely understand the frustration. And so it's my responsibility to make sure we get that changed. And you named the things there. That was very good by you.
Andy, is there a prognosis for Macklin and his hamstring? You said it's not as bad as you thought.
It's a day-to-day thing as opposed to you know, initially what we thought was a little more significant than that. It's tender right now. You know, the positive was that the MRI came back and it wasn't a negative thing there. So,
and you've had a lot of lineup switches, a linebacker and safety along the way here. But are you convinced you have the personnel now in that locker room to get the job done at linebacker and safety?
Well, we're going to keep working, and so you know, and try to get that right and make sure that we all do our jobs a little bit better. Yeah.
Andy, do you agree with Andy's, with Michael's assessment that the league needs to do a better job in protecting him, the referees?
Well, listen, I'm always his best interest is always on my mind, and so in particular when he's on the football field, I know he's a marked man, and so I think it's important that we all keep a close eye on him when he's playing.
Is Casey Matthews still a starting linebacker for you?
You know what? I haven't even gone there with this, but I and really, I'm probably not going to go there with you on it.
Was he injured when he fell, or when he was hit?
When he was hit. He threw the ball, and the guy was coming in, and he tried to protect himself from the guy hitting him in the head, and with his hand, and it got caught between his helmet and or in that area there, face mask, whatever.
Andy, will Marty remain the offensive play caller?
Come on. I mean, you guys are killing. Yeah, yeah. Please.
Yeah. Andy, how close
is that
is,
yes or no?
You know, something you don't have to worry about, but I think Marty's very good.
Okay. Jaquan Jarrett, how close is he to being able to get on the field if you decide to go that direction?
We'll see. I'm not there yet. I'm got to do all my evaluation stuff here and make those decisions in the next couple of days.
There was a report on the broadcast that Mike was not actually wearing his mouthpiece again this week. Was that the case, and why was that the case?
Can't tell you that, John.
If you end up being down a couple of receivers, you're going to have to make a roster move there this week?
Well, we'll see. We just got to see how they do physically here, and in the next couple of days. You know, obviously, if you have none, then you've got to make something happen there. If a bunch of guys are out.
Are you disappointed that at this point in the years you're evaluating still and possibly making changes? Do you think things would have been a little more stable with the guys you put out there?
I would take that responsibility. Yeah, and probably say yes. Yeah. It's my responsibility to make sure the right guys are on the field in the right place, and so I'd probably tell you.
Andy, the tackling was poor. Is that as a result that the guys weren't in the right place, or they just weren't making the play, they're making the tackles?
We've got to do a better job tackling. You know, and listen, that's not – I can't sit here and tell you. If you're in a position to make a tackle, you got to make a tackle. That's That's how it works. And then it's our responsibility as coaches and to put guys in the right position to make the tackles. But when you're there, you've got to make the tackle.
Andy, you had four false start penalties yesterday after only two in the two dome games. A couple guys mentioned some cadence issues. Can you talk a little bit about what the problem was?
Well, there was obviously cadence issues when guys jump offside. So it's we've all got to be on the same page there. And, I'll take care of that. I put that in my category right there of doing a better job managing the game there.
Andy, why did you go for on 4th-and-1 there in the fourth? And how much did you kind of grapple with it at the time of it?
Yeah, well, I knew we had the momentum, obviously. And I've always been aggressive. And so I wanted to make sure that we stayed aggressive. And it was the wrong thing to do, obviously, with hindsight being 2020 here.
Did you feel at all that you needed more points, that it was essential to win that game, you were going to have to score more?
I wanted to score more, yeah.
Did Vic's injury have anything to do with it? You were afraid that you were going to lose him?
I wanted to score more, that's all.
Do you agree with Michael's contention that he made yesterday with regard to the hits that he's taking, the calls that he's getting or not getting?
I already answered that question.
Andy, this might be time to kind of do what we thought you did last year and kind of present that to the league, or is it not time for that yet?
We'll see. We'll see how that works. Andy, I can't present it here, though, obviously. So
this is Juan's first time as a defensive coach, obviously in at this level, and some difficult times right now the last couple weeks. Do you need to work with him at all? Is he? Where is he right now as a D coordinator 3 weeks in?
Listen, I think we all need to work together. I mean, that's what I think is the most important thing right now, as coaches and as players and all as one. And I think that's very important for this team right now. Old, young, new, whatever. We've all got to work. We've got to do a better job there as a group.
Follow on that, though, when Juan was offensive line coach, after losses, you would see, he really took them very personally. You would see him in the locker room. I mean, as a D coordinator, though, is he – are you worried that games like this might affect him, that he takes it home? I mean, how does he react to these?
Well, listen, we all spend a lot of time doing our job. And I've said this before, losses should hurt. They should hurt. And then you learn from them. And then in this league, you got to get rid of them. But there's a period there where it's not a great feeling. And a lot of people don't have the chance to experience that, but it's not real fun. I can't tell you this is the most fun I have in a day right here. So explaining how not fun it is to win a football game. So it's not a good thing. But you've got to learn from it, and all of us, and then you've got to move on, and that's what we're in the process of doing.
Any conversations about the officiating outside? What do you guys want to do to try to minimize some of the hits that Michael's been taking?
Well, listen, we've got there are a bunch of things that we can do, and we can say other people need to do and all that. But we're going to keep working on things on our end, and I know other people will keep working on their things on their end.
The four plays down at the goal line, why no McCoy there?
Well, because we called plays that didn't have him involved. So
twice to Schmidt, and then you had Vic.
We thought that was the way to go. I mean, obviously it wasn't now that it's said and done, but there's some things.
He was having such a good game at that point.
Yeah, he sure was. Yep.
Can you talk about his production through the first three games?
Yeah, no, he's playing very well. Had a good game yesterday. There are things that, there are a few plays he'd like to have back. But for the most part, he did a nice job.
Was there any thought of challenging that second down when it looked like Mike was right there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I had, my hand on my flag ready to go. I couldn't get a shot of it that it showed his head over, but not the ball. And so on the shot that I had, so, there was no reason to to do that at that time.
Having with Vince having missed the time he missed with his hamstring, where is he as far as running this offense?
I think he's very close. I think he's very close to be back physically. As far as mentally, he's fine. But to be back physically, I think he's right there. So,
is it safe to say he has the edge over Kafka if he's 100%?
We'll see how all that goes. I haven't got there yet. I'm still going to get the swelling out of Michael's hand and let him get ready to play. So.
And, DeSean Jackson made a statement last night indicating, you know, he thought the defense needs to play better. How much do you monitor stuff like that? Do you talk to him about things like that?
Well, I'm kind of a wee guy that we all need to play better. So I don't know. I don't know what was said. I mean, I don't read all that stuff. So, and I know Deshaun's he's always been a team kid, a guy, and when he plays, he's always over talking with the defense. And I know, you know, from my experience. I mean, again, I haven't read anything or don't know anything on what was said. But I'm big on we all can do our job better. That's what we need to do.
That's it.
Well, there you go. That is Andy Reid, and it's strange. Michael Vick, a hand contusion, a blood vessel over his bone. So it's not a broken right hand. It is a blood contusion over the right hand that is swollen and is causing an enormous amount of pain. And it does not sound like a long-term injury. That is great news from Andy Reid's press conference. So we will discuss that. Does Vic play this week against the Niners? It sounds like he has a chance. It certainly doesn't sound like it will be a long-term deal. So good news, encouraging news. Michael Vick, a contusion in his right hand, a blood vessel over that right hand. We'll talk about it and a whole lot more coming up on Eagles Live right here from our Xfinity studio at the NovaCare Complex.
When times are tough, it can be hard to find that little extra bit of money. That's why you should get the Inquirer. It comes with so many coupons and money-saving deals, savings almost fly out of its pages. Use the Inquirer every day, and those savings really, well, pile up. In fact, last year, the Inquirer carried over $129,000 worth of coupons and special ad offers. That's a heap of money. So get the Inquirer. It could be the difference between getting by and getting going.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. In the book, on your phone, or online.
Sweet belt. E-reader for textbooks. GPS. HD video cam for lectures. Gamepad. Have you ever considered this? It's got all that and more than 200,000 apps.
Technology to learn and play on the go. Only at Verizon. Buy one Droid 3 by Motorola, the thinnest full QWERTY smartphone ever, for $199.99 and get another one free.
Rico is the official document solutions partner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Visit Rico at www.rico-usa.com.
We're back. Dave Spadaro with you. If you have not tuned in until this moment, check out our breaking news. Michael Vick has a hand contusion. It is not a broken hand. It is not a fracture. It is a hand contusion. It's a blood vessel over the hand that is swollen. So Andy Reid would not commit one way or the other about Sunday, but the Eagles are going to work to get the swelling out of that hand, and maybe he can play. Defensive end Darrell Tapp and defensive end Jaquay Parker recovering from their injuries. Jeremy Maclin day-to-day with a hamstring strain. No changes for defense. Changes coming. We don't know. That's why we wrote both headlines. We have no idea. Eagles Nightly tonight, 7 p.m. We wrap up a very, very crazy, as usual, day here at the NovaCare Complex. Dave Spadaro with you. Let's go to Ace in D.C. Hi, Ace.
What's up, Dave? Hey, look, I told you the other day, man, I wasn't going to call, but let me tell you something, man. It's like this. We can't. Every fan can call every day with your frustration. You can say that you're a real Eagle fan and you're going to hold your head. You can say all the pretty cliches that you want. But at the end of the day, all right, we stuck with this team for the rest of the year because you can't fix none of the problems. The reason we can't score on the goal line is, like I tell you every year, Dave, that's not something we do in practice. Those linemen are not trained to block as run blockers, all right? And I got two comments. One thing to say about – go ahead, I'm listening.
I would tell you that the running game has probably never been better. LeSean McCoy is having a phenomenal season. So I'm not sure I would agree with that. But in short yardage, they are not getting the job done.
As great as he looked, Dave, it was forced, okay? It was forced. See, it wasn't like it's almost a double-edged sword. You know, we've been begging for this guy to run. He finally runs, but at the end of the day, he doesn't know how to use it in the plan. He don't know how to mix the two. So at the end of the day, you know, you'll never win on that. All right. So when you look at this team from what we have right now today moving forward, you can't call it a Super Bowl team.
Oh no, agreed.
You can't call it a good team.
No, agreed.
Because it's not a well-coached team.
Well,
all right? Now. And once again, I saw yesterday, and I saw columnists, and when I watch football, Dave, I listen to everything. That wide nine thing, and I saw something that is going to hurt us throughout the year. Those guys only look at the ball. That's why we jumped offside on that field goal. They showed an example of that Giants player squeezing that ball, and everybody bit. See, to me, that's bad coaching. All right, we shouldn't just look at the ball. All right. I can go on forever, but at the end of the day, these coaches have Dave, man, and I know people want to stand up and take up. This problem can't be fixed. This problem won't be fixed this year, or next year, or the year afterwards, because we still have the players that can't play the position. Now, unless we do something drastic and free agent, but it's no way this problem can get fixed. And I'm gonna tell you what's gonna happen. They'll win five or six games in a row, and we'll all act like yesterday never existed. And we'll, you know, just play like, you know, everything is going to be copacetic. But once again, DeSean Jackson was lost in the game, and his idiotic comment yesterday really just pissed me off to the utmost. I'm going to try to take the blame off of himself for him. He drops three balls every game, Dave. We had a discussion last week, people killing me, calling him a number one, all right? He's not a number one receiver. He can't get off no bump and run, okay? He can't get open. As good as Macklin is, he's the same way. They are only good coming across the middle. And the way to beat the Eagles this year, keep the safety up top, blitz the quarterback, and let the two little guys run across the field.
The Giants didn't blitz. Ace, thanks for the call. Good stuff. Really well thought out, and it's hard to disagree with any of that stuff today. Really is. Giants, I didn't think blitz very much at all. And they still covered, and they took away the deep ball, and that's what you do against the Philadelphia Eagles. You take away the deep ball, you make this team, as they say, matriculate up the field, and then you get in the red zone, and you hold them to a field goal. And that's what teams are doing. And that's why the Eagles are missing opportunities to put teams out of their misery. Daryl in D.C., you know, I don't even want to watch this guy anymore. Get rid of Victor Cruz. Daryl in D.C., hi.
What's going on, Dave?
I'm depressed. I'm up and down. I'm depressed. I'm back. You know, I'm glad Michael Vick's not seriously hurt. Sounds like he's got a shot to play this week. Early reports today, 3 to 4 weeks out. Hopefully that's incorrect. Get the swelling out of that hand. Let's go.
All right. Question for you. Do you think it would have been a good idea to at least try to put Ronnie Brown into the goal line?
Yeah.
On that fourth and one?
Yes. Yes. And look, I'm not in the business of criticizing the, you know, I've always said this, play calling is largely the product of if the play works, it's a great play call. If it doesn't work, it's not a great play call. But I just can't wrap my mind around the idea of Owen Schmidt, who I love, getting two carries on the goal line, and LeSean McCoy none, and Brown none, Ronnie Brown none.
Right. And how many? I mean, I was watching the game, but I really didn't see. I really didn't pay too much attention to it. But how many times did Steve Smith at least get the ball thrown to him?
He had it thrown to him a few times, actually. Steve Smith was a target 5 times, had 2 catches for 27 yards.
Okay.
Yeah, one in garbage time.
Yeah, I really didn't. Yesterday, I was really heated. Yesterday, I just left the bar and just went home and went to sleep.
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. This is like, I mean, we have a game like this every year. Just like you said, the Oakland game 2 years ago, the Redskins game last year. The only thing I'm having faith in is the fact that the same thing that the Green Bay Packers did last year. I mean, they're not us, but at the same time, they had so many injuries, and they were losing this game, that game. But when it came to the right point in time, they did what they had to do to win the Super Bowl. They went on a hot streak. Hopefully we can do the same thing.
I'm with you. Long way to go before anybody here starts talking about winning the Super Bowl. Let's win a game on Sunday against the. I think we all have to learn a little lesson here, and maybe it crept down to the players. I don't know. The dream team nonsense. The you're a great team, awesome team. This team is 1-2. That's what the Eagles are. There's no labels here. They're 1 win and 2 losses.
Yeah, that's the telling folks. I mean, we take dream team from the beginning of the season. I didn't even think we were a dream team until we actually hit the field and actually did what we were supposed to do. You can't call yourself a dream team until you actually prove that you're doing something.
Right, right. And the dream team comment was Vince Young and Jason Babin before they even joined the team. So, you know, it wasn't like this team is not walking around thinking they're the dream team. But what I think is interesting. So they lose in Atlanta, and everybody says, well, tough loss, but we'll bounce back. And I just wonder if you're not the more desperate team, it's really hard to win in the NFL. And the Giants were more desperate yesterday, and they won the football game. Thanks for the call, Daryl. Let's take a little break here. When we come back, Jerod Page in the locker room. Part of that defensive backfield breakdown that really cost the Eagles. 4 more touchdown passes allowed. What will the Eagles do on defense to make things better? We'll find out a little bit from Paige and from you and from whomever here on Eagles Live. Dave Spadaro with you. We're coming right back.
Another good thing about GEICO is they've got, like, real live people working there 24/7. So, like, say you need to report a claim, right? A real person will be there to help you. Then you can use GEICO.com to view photos of the damage, track your claim, print an estimate. You want an English muffin? They literally hand you a toasted muffin with butter and jam. Oh, tasty. That's a complete dramatisation, of course, but you get my point.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Many people stop exercising because it makes them cough, wheeze, or feel tightness in their chest. Are you one of them? It may be exercise-induced bronchospasm, or EIB. These symptoms are preventable with treatment. Go to EIBandMe.com to learn more and get back to being active.
Where do you go to find a super business? You know, the ones who do such a super job, they're backed by the super guarantee. Only Super Pages. Wherever you are, wherever you're going, you'll find the super business you need. So next time, let the good guys save the day. Get the super guarantee, only at Super Pages. Online, on your phone, or in the book. Look for your Super Pages being delivered now.
She's even more beautiful now. Are you me? Quite a while from now. So, how'd I do? You did great. But don't forget about us. We still need financial advice. We have to protect and grow our money. You never know what's around the corner, Grandpa.
Confidently face your future with Lincoln Financial.
Want the latest Eagles news as the story breaks? Then follow us at Eagles Insider on Twitter. You'll not only get breaking news, but pictures, inside information, and prize giveaways. So make sure to go to twitter.com/Eagles Insider and follow the leaders of Eagles news.
Just a situation where one of us, we got to make a play. And right there on that play, he made a better play.
Sorry if I've been asked this, but what happened that allowed them to jump out to that early lead? I mean, was it mental? Was the intensity not there? What do you think went wrong in that first
play? I don't think the intensity wasn't there. I mean, they just made a couple plays. We saw they got loose and got down the sideline on one. Like I say, I was on the other side of the field, so I can't really say exactly what happened. But, I mean, just looking up, I mean, it wasn't a lack of intensity. It wasn't like guys weren't fired up to go out there and play the game. They just got a couple plays. And I thought we settled down and we're playing a pretty good football game. We just got to find a way to stop them in the fourth quarter.
Did they throw the ball a little bit more than maybe you thought they would?
Not necessarily. They started off, trying to get their run game, clicking, which is what we thought. Eli can throw the ball, of course. And they pretty much ran their offense. Week to week, a team's going to have a couple little things, had a couple little wrinkles, but for the most part, it was what they do. They ran their offense. They got 44 is a really good back, and then they got 27 also, coming there, big guy, and they gave them the ball, and then they tried to make some plays in the passing game, find some holes, and they got a couple big plays.
How's the team bounce back from this?
Well, I mean, you just take it and say, we've been working hard, but obviously at 1-2, we got to work harder. Whatever that means, we got to go in there and stay a little longer and say, guys, we need to be this, we need to do that, and make sure you're on the same page and everybody's thinking the same thing. We just got to find a way in the fourth quarter to make things turn out our way. It's one or two plays, but the one or two plays got to go our way, and we'll be all right.
All right, that is from the locker room from yesterday, of course. Let's go to some more telephone calls from you Eagles fans. I know you're upset today. Understood. Let's go to Will in South Carolina. Hi, Will.
Hey, how's it going, Dave?
Terrible. Let's back up that play. Let's follow. So what did the Giants run here? So the Giants pack it in, packed formation. Okay, so what are you doing here? So is McCoy goes to the right, and there's one defender to beat there. Quick pitch. Nah, he might have been covered there.
Well, I don't understand. Why are you all bunched up? Why not put three wide receivers, spread it out? Why not put Celek over there with Peters? If you have to, put Herman's in at right guard and run to the left with McCoy and Schmidt.
Run somebody in motion, and you got that little quick release from Celek there, who's in single coverage, who's actually open and being hounded, but there's no play.
You're all bunched up at the goal line. Why not spread it all out? Put three wide receivers.
Ryan, can you look at the few? Let's look at the formations, kind of leading, not just this one. A couple plays before this. Yeah, I mean, I'd like to know what kind of variation in the formations there was, and what kind of different looks the Eagles were giving them. Maybe, and we don't know the plays. We don't know the responsibility. This is first and goal. Okay, so it's one wide, and a man in motion. Okay. Let's see what happens here.
Can't run to the left. That's what they're anticipating. Look how stacked they are on the left side.
Second down again. A tight formation.
You got to sweep to the right.
Just a tight formation. Go ahead. Third down.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
That set a series. It's a power line. Even got the penalty. You had five chances to get in there, and you can't put the ball over the line. And to be honest, I think Vic got in on second down.
I thought so too, Will.
But it's play calling. It's the formations. I mean, they got to execute. But this is ridiculous. You can't blame the players here. This is just there's not a well thought out plan to get that ball. Why aren't you running McCoy? I don't understand that at all.
I know.
I mean, isn't their best running play to the left with McCoy? Isn't that where their most success has been?
To the left side. To the left side, McCoy.
Yep.
Is where it's been successful, but they didn't call that.
And same thing, they had a 4th-and-1 in the middle of the game, you know? And if you're going to go for it, why not run left with McCoy? I don't understand it. And if you're going to be in the red zone, why aren't you trying to hit Cooper? Why aren't you trying to hit Selleck, your taller players? I don't know. It's play calling, and they're not executing what they do call. So.
I know.
The bottom line is defense giving up too many touchdowns. The offense isn't scoring when they have the chances, and turnovers are killing us.
Will, I'm with you. Will, thank you for the call. I hear the frustration. I agree with you. I think everybody's feeling the same thing today. It's just been a crappy day. But there is good news. Michael Vick, no broken hand. Hand contusion, swelling. A lot of blood over that bone. Got to get the swelling out. Okay? A lot of compression, ice, whatever it takes, stimulation, whatever you do, get the swelling out, and maybe you can play on Sunday against the Niners. Let's go to Darren in Virginia. Hi, Darren.
Hey, how's it going? I've been calling for years. Glad to finally get on.
Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good thing to hear about Mike's hand. He's not hurt too bad. And
we hope.
One to ask you one thing. Hey, I believe it is what it is, you know. The owners and management and the coaches have said this is what they're going to go with and this is how this team is going to be built. But just in your opinion, do you really think that we can go forward in this process with just leaving our middle so exposed? I mean, we've wasted, I'm not going to say wasted, but we used 2 draft picks, second round, I believe, on the two safeties, Jared and Allen. Allen's coming off a knee injury, got it. But it just seems though we've kind of went in with these holes in the middle, thinking that what we've done up on the front end and the back end was going to shore it up. And I'm not going to beat the drum and sound like a broken record with the play calling thing, but, you know, it is what it is. And, either he's got to stop saying, I got to do a better job and just have his conviction to say this is how I'm going to run it. Or, I don't know, maybe find someone else. But, yeah, stuff in the middle just has got to stop.
Yeah, agreed, but what is your solution? You are not going to find a player out there to come in and make it better. What do you do?
That's true. Well, my solution is you put jobs up on the table and have open competition.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that. And I wouldn't. I mean, look, if you try to do whatever you can to get Jaquan Jarrett ready to go. He's physical. I mean, Cole Anderson, I'd look at him. I think he's a tough guy. Nate Allen, to me, didn't look like he was moving as well as he needs to move.
No, he didn't look sure of himself, like he had his legs underneath him. And I think a lot of it is having with these guys just come together. You can put a whole bunch of superstars on a team, but until they gel and get a chance to play with each other and kind of know what one does better and what the other one doesn't, you know, kind of cover each other. They seem to all be out there just playing and not reacting. I mean, if that makes any sense, you know, it's no attacking the ball carrier, you know, kind of waiting to be blocked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just not yeah. used to seeing an Eagles defense play like this. But, you know, it's only 3 games, and, been watching this team from far for all these years since I left home, joined the military. But it's only 3 games. No need to panic.
Darren, I agree with you there. But I'll tell you what, man, I think what it is with me is I just want to have a year where they don't have to win 6 out of 7 to get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, I just want now, but I will say this. I'll trade a loss here for a win later where you go into the playoffs and you're streaking and you're playing great football, because the last 2 years, 3 years when the Eagles have gone into the playoffs, they have not played well heading into the playoffs.
Exactly.
So if I've got to lose a game here in September and win in December, I'll make that trade. It's just right now it's tough because I want to start strong. I want to start fast and finish strong.
Exactly. And I hope people don't read too much. I don't want to get off the line here. I hope people don't read too much in what Mike said. Yes, I think there's some validity to what he said, but the guy is frustrated. And I don't think he's the type of individuals to call his teammates out on national TV.
Yeah.
What he said, you know, what he felt. I mean, if you can go back and look at the film, I think he can probably say in certain games he has a valid argument. But the guy's frustrated, and that's pretty much what that was.
Mm-hmm.
So, take care.
Okay, hey, thanks for the call. Nice that you joined us. We appreciate that very much. Dave Spadaro with you. We're going to close up shop here. Again, reminder, Michael Vick, a hand contusion, not a broken hand. We will update you tonight at 7 o'clock with Eagles Nightly. And, you know, we might even have a little bit more for you here. There's the updates. Michael Vick, hand contusion, no fracture. And that is good. So what it is, a blood vessel over the right hand, swollen, very painful, but not broken. So whether or not he plays this week, we don't know. Now, Andy Reid also talked about Vince Young. Did not feel that Young was 100% healthy last week. Could be that healthy this week, however. They will look at him in practice. Mike Kafka struggled yesterday with two interceptions. Defensive ends Darrell Tapp and Jaquay Parker coming back from their injuries. Darrell Tapp with a pectoral strain. Jaquay Parker with a high ankle sprain. Macklin day-to-day with a hamstring strain. It sounds to me like Andy Reid thought the initial diagnosis on Macklin might have been more serious than the actual tests came back and showed. So he said there's one spot in that hamstring. Are the defenses, is the defense going to change things up? Kurt Coleman goes to the bench after the first Victor Cruz touchdown yesterday. They move the linebackers around all over the place with Jamar Chaney in the middle, Casey Matthews weak side, Moses Fokou on the strong side. Did it make a difference? Will there be more changes coming with this Eagles defense? Well, we talk about some of that. Eagles Nightly tonight at 7 p.m. I want to thank you for joining us here today on Eagles Live. Tonight, again, it's Eagles Nightly. Please make sure you join us for the very latest. Everyone, we're with you. Understand how you're feeling. We're going to be live every day this week. We're live every day at 11 o'clock. So please keep calling us. Vent. Be upset. And hopefully a day or two, we turn the page and we look ahead to the 49ers.